Hey, it's Melissa from Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600, and thanks for checking out the podcast right here. If you want, you can always subscribe, share, and like it. Hope to see you guys soon. Thanks. Milford Mayor Ben Blake is here right now to give us the scoop on what's going on in the city. What's going on, Mayor Blake? How are you?
Well, happy fall.
Happy fall, man. I'm so happy.
Yeah, all things fall are going on with all those fall sports like football and soccer and everything else in between.
I know. It's so funny because even people who love summer can't help but be like, oh, man, it's so nice. It's because our summer really wasn't that nice, to be honest. It was either really hot or really rainy. So I feel like everyone's a fall fan right now, I think.
No, I like it hot. I like the summer. I come from a family of educators, so by extension, we're all summer worshipers.
That's fair. All right, that's fair. I'll give it to you. I'm more of a cold person. I lived in Vermont for 10 years, so I mean, I do like the cold. I don't know. I'm more of a cold person, so fall is like, fall's great. But you just admitted you're happy it's fall. You just said it. You said you like the fall. You just said it.
I'm always happy, Melissa. I am always happy.
You are. You are a happy guy. I love that about you. So, no, that's great. I'm glad to hear that. Did you get your free coffee this morning for National Coffee Day?
You know, I did have a cup of coffee. I don't think it was free. This was at Dunkin' Donuts?
Did you tell them that you're the mayor? I mean, did you drop that line? Like, do you know who I am? Yeah, at Dunkin', if you, like, get, I don't know, I think you have to order, like, a bagel or maybe a munchkin or something, and then you can get a free coffee. Yeah.
Well,
did they chip
remember
you?
That for,
I'll talk to
I'll
them.
I'll have to remember that for the afternoon.
Exactly,
the afternoon,
yeah.
Caffeine fix.
Yeah, everybody's got it. Everyone's got it. So there you go. Yeah, don't miss out on it. It's good stuff. There's stuff there. There's Starbucks, Barnes & Noble. I've been, yeah, no, you got to go check it out. Not that I drink coffee, but definitely should check it out. So Mayor Blake, I did want to talk about a couple of fun things going on in Milford. But before I get to that, I noticed this article before I went on vacation and I was like, oh, I can't wait to talk to the mayor about this. So I know that nothing has been decided. I know Milford is up there with Fairfield and some of our other municipalities who listen to the show. And I'm talking about having designated smoking areas for marijuana. And I know Milford falls under this because of your population size. So it sounds like some aldermen have come forward and gave a couple of suggestions for where you could smoke pot. And I noticed, honestly, both of them I thought were kind of interesting. One, for anyone who hasn't read this in the Connecticut Post, is a sidewalk area on the Post Road near Barnes & Noble in the Walmart parking lot. The other one is at 130 Boston Post Road, which is kind of to me, I understand the second one a little more because that area does need to be built up a little bit, but it's very close to the skate park where kids are. So I wasn't sure what your thoughts were on both these proposals and if we have any headway on this topic.
Sure. You know, towns and cities had the option of restricting, you know, the use of cannabis in places like their beaches, their park, their recreation areas, their sidewalks. And Milford did exercise that. We passed a local ordinance that restricted the use of cannabis on those city areas. But if we did restrict it, there is a state law passed just recently, this past legislative session, that requires municipalities over 50,000 people to designate an area. And when we looked at areas, we wanted to make sure that it was far away from any type of residential neighborhood. And there were two locations that our aldermen brought forward. Both were on the Boston Post Road, far away from residential neighborhoods. And both really had good lighting and both had good access to bus stops. So there are two that we took a look at. There was one piece of property that the city had a 2.5 acre swath, and that is the preferred property for this designation right now. But again, it's one of those state mandates that are required for all cities over 50,000 that in any way, shape, or form, restrict the use in beaches and parks and recreational facilities.
Okay, so really quick, Mayor Blake, clarify that. So you said there is a property that you guys are kind of leaning towards. Which one is it?
It's the one near the Walmart Plaza. It's a 2.5 acre area that we would just designate the strip along the Boston Post Road, for use for this cannabis designated area.
Okay. How close is that? I know that that is far away, like you mentioned, from residential, but how close is that to, like, Barnes & Noble, Home Goods, only because, you know, you do have, that's a very high-traffic-y area, a lot of people going in there.
Yeah, again, there's it would be on the other side. It would be closer to, the following intersection.
Like where like Taco those, Bell almost is, like the Taco Bell area, or more of the Sonic area? You know what I'm talking about?
More across the street from that McDonald's on the Post Road there.
Okay.
But further down a little bit.
Okay. I see what you're saying. Yes, because there is like a strip there where it's just kind of tree. It is far enough away where even like the I would think the Barnes and Noble customers wouldn't really see it, or I mean if they smell it, I mean God, you could smell it anyways. You smell it, in passing anyways. So okay, so that's what you guys are leaning towards.
And Melissa, just between you and me, it is a terrible state law that they pass down to municipalities.
I agree.
There is no right answer to this one.
No, I know. It's interesting you say that. We're talking to Mayor Ben Blake out of Milford. Well, because Fairfield, as I mentioned, they have a high enough population that they needed to do it too. And when I was talking to Brenda Kupchick about it, she said this is the worst part of the law, because she said, tell me where I could put it. I've got beaches just like you. I've got colleges. She's like, where do you put this where you're not either, targeting college students or targeting high schoolers or upsetting families or upsetting beach? Like, where do you put it? And I thought, well, we're going to fall into the same category. Like, where do you put it in Milford? And Milford has everything. It's not an easy task, but that seems like, so when will you guys, do you think, make kind of a decision on where we do this? And when would that go into effect? When would that open up?
So the enabling legislation requires that we do it by October 1st. So we're just a few days away from October 1st when we have to send a letter to the Office of Policy and Management notifying them of the location.
I did not know that. Wow. So, okay. So every municipality who's under that population threshold, they have to have their choice of one area. I just think it's crazy. One area ready by this Friday. They have to submit that. Like, what happens if you don't? Do you know? I mean, you guys are okay, but what do you do?
So it's only those municipalities over 50,000 people.
Right.
And those municipalities that adopt a zoning regulation or an ordinance that restricts the use in places like parks and beaches and recreational areas. So if you restrict the use of cannabis and you're a city or town over 50,000 people, you have to designate an area. And if you don't designate an area, arguably you can't restrict the use of cannabis in beaches and parks and recreational facilities.
Mayor Ben Blake, kind of a very exciting month ahead. We're going to start with Porch Fest, which is actually coming up this weekend in Milford. Tell us about that. What's that all about?
Yeah, so Saturday afternoon, Milford is going to be celebrating its second Porch Fest. We took last year off, but 2 years ago, it was met with a lot of fun and good vibes. And there's over 60 porches that are going to be participating, 60 separate distinct houses that are going to be spread across the entire town, hosting a band or more than one band. In a lot of cases, there's lots and lots of bands on these porches, but it goes between 1 and 5 Saturday afternoon all across the city. You can check out on the Discover Milford social media pages where those locations are, but it proves to be a really fun time.
Okay, so walk me through this. I have to be honest, I have never gone to a Porch Fest before. Is this a walking thing? Is this, I get in my car, I listen to somebody perform, after they play a couple songs, I then bop around to somewhere else? Like, what does this look like?
So the porches are spread across the city, but there are kind of zones that are laid out on a map, and you can access the map on the Discover Milford Facebook page or other social media platforms. And there are houses that are close together that you can bop around to, stroll from one porch to the next porch, or you can drive. Look for your favorite band and, go to it.
That's so cool. I think this is such a neat idea. And, of course, we're talking to Milford Mayor Ben Blake. I also played for everybody, Mayor Blake, right before I left on vacation, a video that you were chatting, of course, with the owner of one of my favorite restaurants of all time in Milford. And you guys were talking about the restaurant week, which actually is longer than a week, correct?
Well, last year we had to skip it, so this year we made it not just Restaurant Week, but Restaurant 2 Weeks, and it is going to be going from September 27th through October 10th. Double the fun, double the flavor.
It's very exciting. So how many restaurants are getting in on this?
I think that they continue to join each and every day. I'm not sure what the count is up to, but it's certainly dozens and dozens.
Yeah, it's really exciting. So, of course, I was talking about Stonebridge before. You know Stonebridge will be in on this. How does Restaurant Week work for Milford? Do you guys have set like menus for both lunch and dinner? Like, where can people access that stuff?
I think that it's a joint venture by the Chamber of Commerce and the DMBA, the Downtown Business and Merchants Association, and both of those organizations have information on their websites and their social media platforms, but each restaurant submits its own either prefix menu or they advertise, you know, their specials in some way for Restaurant Week, but you know, it's a good way for businesses to attract new customers that may want to try something new, and it's, you know, it's mostly an advertising thing, but also an opportunity for people to really flavor the taste of all that Milford has to offer.
Yeah, so it's actually going on, as the mayor mentioned, it's going on right now until October 10th, which is fantastic. And actually, if you go online, you can actually go to Connecticut Restaurant Week, all spelled out, .com, ConnecticutRestaurantWeek.com, and click on Milford's Restaurant Week. And there you're going to find participating restaurants. Of course, I do see on here Stonebridge Restaurant, obviously. But there's over a dozen restaurants on here, really great options. I mean, I'm really hungry now, and I'm really excited for this. This is going to be great. And Mayor Blake, before I let you go, anything else you want to let people know about before we talk again in a couple weeks?
Melissa, just happy fall, y'all.
Happy fall, y'all. And wait, the beaches, come October 1st, that's now back open to the public, right? Isn't it since September 30th, the cutoff for having your passes?
Well, they're always open to the public, but we do have two locations that we do man and staff with lifeguards and other resources that have a charge during the summer months that will no longer have any type of parking fee associated with it.
That's what I mean. Yeah, there you go. You got it. You knew what I was saying. Yeah, so people don't have to pay to go to the beaches starting Friday if you're not a Milford resident.
Absolutely.
Cool. That's very exciting. Well, Mayor Ben Blake, always a pleasure to chat with you. Thank you so much, and we'll talk again in a couple of weeks.
Take care.
All right, you too. What do you say we walk on down to Westport this morning, where First Selectman Jim Marpy is standing by? What's going on, Jim? How are you?
Good morning, and what a beautiful autumn morning this is. You can tell it's autumn. I switched from iced coffee to hot coffee this morning.
You did? Well, happy National Coffee Day, my friend. Did
yeah, it's National
free?
Coffee Day.
Did
absolutely.
You get free
there
coffee?
Were lots of balloons in the coffee shops.
Yeah.
I paid for mine. But anyway, that's,
come on,
thanks for
Jim.
Me.
You could have had a free coffee if you get some munchkins or something. That's what I told my husband. Yeah. I was like, get munchkins for Chase. You'll be fine. You'll be fine.
There you go. That's terrific.
Well, Jim, I did want to talk about a couple of things going on in Westport. Sure. But first and foremost, mm-hmm. we got to talk about what's been making headlines all weekend and really into the beginning mm-hmm. of this week. The Israeli flag situation at the Staples High School. First of all, was that taken out of context?
Well, I want to be careful here how we portray it. We're still looking into this situation. Mm-hmm. In case some of your listeners don't know the backstory of what you're talking about, the Staples Wreckers football team was playing the Cheshire High School team in Cheshire. The early investigation of all this, what happened is there was an Israeli flag being displayed in the Cheshire stands, mm-hmm. and it was unclear to some of the Staples students who were there was what that was all about, and it seemed I can't recall having seen such a thing myself in any the stadium, but that doesn't mean one thing or the other.
Mm-hmm.
So working with the Cheshire School school superintendent, their police chief. My counterpart in Cheshire is a town manager, and our own school superintendent and our police chief talking, working through this. It turns out it was red, white, and blue night at the football game, and what turned out to be two Jewish students brought their Israeli flag. For those of you who don't remember, the Israeli flag is white and blue, and that was part of what they were doing. But again, some of our students were not sure what that was all about. We do know, that's what we know so far in terms of that. Now, related to that, there were, and this is where we just, you know, social media
blows things up.
While it can be helpful at times, it also is a place for a lot of misinformation to spread.
Yes.
There was some allegation of a Confederate flag. There's no apparent evidence of that. But there were also some racial taunts in a Instagram site that's mainly aimed at, or mainly participated in by Staples students. So unclear the source of those comments, but that was all occurring at the same time. So the leadership team I was just talking about is still looking into this, trying to understand if there's anything there more than what I've just described, and by that I mean any real motivation or a bigger driving factor. We're fortunate to have a great relationship with the Anti-Defamation League here in Connecticut. The Connecticut director, Steve Ginsburg, is a personal friend of mine and a Westport resident, and has helped us work through similar issues in the past. And he's involved. We had a meeting with the group of the local rabbis here in Westport, the superintendent of schools leading that meeting, and I participated to get their feedback, input, and perspective. And this morning, as soon as I'm done with this call, I'm going to join a meeting with Team Westport, which is our equity and inclusion team that's a committee that reports to me, and to talk about the apparent racial comments that were put out there, to try and further understand it. We're not done looking into this yet, but I just told you mostly what we know right now.
So, no, and I appreciate it. I appreciate the clarity, and honestly, I like to get it from the source directly. So I appreciate you, Jim, doing that. And of course, if you're just tuning in, Jim Marpy's here of Westport. So, Jim, I guess my second question regarding this is, like you had just mentioned in the beginning of this, it's not common you see the Israeli flag flown at like a sporting event. But I'm curious, you know, are there different directions now that need to be taken? Because I do think a lot of the reason I asked, is it taken out of context, is because unless there was a reason or some kind of a political attack or agenda here, I mean, are these going to be things that students now have to be talked to about? Like, hey, here are the risks you take if you're going to fly this, if you're going to say this. Are those conversations now happening because of this incident?
Well, I can't speak for Cheshire, and I don't know where that necessarily goes.
Sure.
But here in Westport, we have ongoing conversations with all our students, all our young people at all levels of our school system, about the impact of social media and things that are said and done on social media, as well as actions that might appear to be straightforward, but you need to understand the consequences and think through what you're doing. So, you know, I don't know that there's any clear formula in terms of addressing sort of the bigger issue you're describing here, but I know, as I mentioned, Team Westport, we have a number of groups at the high school as well as the middle schools that focus on inclusion and equity, and making sure that all students are thinking through what they're doing. And I know our teachers and our administrators in the school system are very alert to these kinds of things, and trying to make sure that all of our students are learn to think first and think through the potential consequences of something that might appear to be otherwise an innocent and actually a positive act. I think the two students in Cheshire, as we understand it, they were doing this because of their love of Israel, and it was not meant in any other way. So again, that's. But in the times we're in, the very sensitive times we're in, that sometimes has to get thought through a little bit.
Totally. So something else, Jim, I wanted to chat about. My understanding is your police chief and deputy chief are still working post-retirement. What's going on?
Well, many of your listeners will be familiar with these two names, Police Chief Fody Koskinas, who's been our police chief for the last 5 years, and his deputy chief, Sam Archiola. Both are raised in Westport. The Archiola family goes back generations here, and both are among the finest police leadership officers that I have ever met. They are at that point in their careers where they're able to retire, and any of the additional contributions they make into their retirement fund doesn't really build toward a larger retirement. So in August, Chief Koskinas approached me to say he was interested in retiring. Both of us were concerned that, and this actually relates to the earlier story we were talking about, but this is a kind of a sensitive time in the evolution of police accountability and responsibilities. Certainly at the national level, we're all aware of that, but at local levels as well. And that kind of full change of leadership, both the chief and the deputy chief retiring at the same time, was going to create a disruption that could have a negative effect on the community and also the successful operations of the police service. Now, we have members of the leadership team who are well on their way in stepping into the chief's role. But they still need some additional time to develop their full range of skills and become more involved in the community relationships as senior leaders. So we negotiated a contract for both Chief Koskinas and Deputy Chief Archiola. Chief Koskinas will continue for another 3 years under contract. Deputy Archiola will go until December 31, 2022. The interesting thing is that from a financial standpoint, this turns out to be a less expensive arrangement for the taxpayers of Westport than if they were to just continue as regular employees, or if we had to go out and search for an interim replacement. So it works out well financially, but the primary motivator here is just to continue the quality of police leadership that has really made a difference in this community. Last year, following the George Floyd murder and the things that followed from that, Westport addressed those publicly in many ways, but in a calm and an appropriate fashion. And that's thanks in large part to the quality of the leadership of the two people I've been talking about. Mm-hmm. So everyone, I found when I started socializing that change the other day, I would start saying, I've got good news, I've got, well, sound like bad news, but I got good news, and listen to both sentences. but to a person, people who I thought would maybe just shrug their shoulders or say, okay, that's fine, were elated.
It matters.
So it's a real tribute to both of them.
That's beautiful.
The people are happy that we have them continuing, and knowing that they'll be developing their successors as appropriate.
Yeah, and I think that is great. That's a wonderful update, and we appreciate it. And also kind of staying on the happy train, any upcoming Westport events that we want to tell people about?
Oh, my gosh, it feels like the four times these days. We just came off of a couple of weekends where we had very successful Lobster Fest, Yankee Doodle Fair, Slice of Saugatuck, and coming coming up, on Friday, it's dogs are allowed back on our beaches until April 1. So that's always a sure sign that winter's on the way, but
yeah,
it's
right?
also makes for fun. And as long as we're talking about animals, there's a blessing of the animals at Christ and Holy Trinity Church on Sunday morning. And a week from Sunday, the 10th, is the Westport Western Chamber of Commerce does what was almost the annual dog festival at Winslow Park. So come on down, bring your dog. And, Orin, if you don't have one, come in and enjoy the dogs and so forth. But and there's all kinds of other events going on in the coming weeks that are outdoors. So it feels more comfortable. Earth Place, our nature center, is this coming weekend. They have their fundraiser bash on Saturday night outside, and then from 10 to 3 on Sunday, they've got a set of family events that's always just a lot of fun. We have an electric vehicle rally that's leaving the Saugatuck train station at around 9:30 on Saturday morning, so come and see all the various electric vehicles that are there. And, you know, another sign that things are getting back to normal is I know of at least two fundraiser walks that are taking place at Sherwood Island State Park here in Westport. Typically this time of year, every Saturday, every Sunday has something that's raising funds for a good cause. In this case, Saturday, 11 o'clock, is an optimism walk for Parkinson's disease, and I think Sunday is a smart walk for kids with learning disabilities, and that's around 12. So come on down and participate in that sort of those events. And again, it feels kind of like we're back to where we were 2 years ago before COVID hit. But of course, appropriate social distancing and masking precautions still need to be taken.
Well, Jim, we always appreciate getting all the inside scoop and everything we need to know about Westport from you. Of course, the first selectman of Westport. Mm-hmm. Thanks for coming on and for extra time this morning. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for the extra time. It's always a pleasure to be here.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Jim. We'll talk soon.
It's time to get up and get moving. Workout Wednesday. Melissa in the morning on WICC 600.
With my babe over here, Amy Linus is here, of course. She's our fitness and health and nutritional guru. Love that she's on the show every Wednesday morning. Thanks so much, Amy. What's going on?
Good morning, Melissa. I'm so grateful you guys have me on every morning. It's wonderful to connect with you on Wednesday morning.
Yeah, we love to have you as well. So, Amy, this is a great topic where a lot of my audience either has chronic pain or even arthritis starts to set in. How do we make sure that when that happens, we stay active, but we don't hurt ourselves?
Right. So one way you can do that is to monitor your nutrition. Whenever your arthritis is acting up as the seasons begin to change and you're feeling a little bit stiffer in your bones, so to speak, it's best to avoid foods that are high in sodium, because the more inflammation that's in your body, the more you're going to feel that. And it's just, I mean, basically, it's just degeneration over time. And it happens to all of us in some form. Some of us feel it more than others. But yeah, you just have to stay away from those high sodium foods and try not to increase anything that's going to create inflammation in your body. Icing definitely helps to reduce swelling and inflammation around those joints. But those are a few tips that you can, modify and focus on.
What would you say when you say high sodium? Like, what are some of the biggest offenses that we do as we get older? Like, what are some of those big ticket items, maybe drinks or foods that we still might be indulging in? And it's like, maybe start to cut back on those a little bit.
Well, I don't want to single anybody out, but Chinese food and Japanese food are definitely do it. Takeout, be careful of the takeout, So, and then when you're cooking food, this is what I tell a lot of my clients, when you're cooking or preparing food, don't add sodium to it while you're preparing it. Add it to the dish after you've cooked it. That way you're not putting double the amount in it.
That's interesting. Okay. All right. That makes a lot of sense. Talking to Amy Linus this morning, of course, for Workout Wednesday. So, Amy, another thing, too, is if you're somebody who has worked out, basically your whole life, whether that's you've been active with walking and bicycling, or maybe you've gone to a gym, and as you get older, even though your body is telling you, hey, my hands hurt, or my shoulders hurt, or my lower back hurts, how do we sort of maybe change the way our mindset is, that we could just keep doing what we did in our 20s, 30s, and 40s, in our 50s, 60s, and 70s.
Oh, I know what you mean. Because back when I was in my teenage and 20s, like in my 20s, I could fall asleep in any position known to man and wake up fine. Now, I'm out for a week.
Yeah,
I sleep
right.
on my neck long, you know?
Exactly.
So as much as training is important, so is rest and taking care of your body. And as we age and we get older, it's important to make sure that we really focus on self-care, like deep tissue massages to keep your muscles nice and loose, not going overly heavy in the gym, and basically focusing on mobility. Mobility is going to be key, especially where arthritis is concerned. The more you move, the more your joints, tendons, and ligaments are going to stay lubricated. And there is also a great product that I recommend for that, too, that's helped me a lot along the years. I've been a heavy, like, hard lifter for many, many years, is glucosamine and chondroitin. You can actually find it on our website. It's in liquid form, so your body absorbs it quicker. And it is processed, created, and made here in New York, in the United States, by Nature's Answer.
That's fantastic. And I am going to get that website from you because not only do I think that there are some great products there, but, you know, we talked about some of the high sodium foods maybe you stay away from. What are some of the maybe the good foods that we can almost increase? Like, I think also another thing is like osteoporosis is another thing that people need to be aware of. So are there certain foods or drinks that we should be taking in to protect our bones better, to strengthen our muscles a little more?
Yeah, so foods that are higher in calcium and densely rich with nutrients are going to be key. And as I tell most of my clients as well, like I was mentioning earlier, supplementation is also going to be important because the way our foods are farmed today, they lose a lot of the nutrients that they're packed with after being processed. It's better to eat fresh whenever you can. So fresh foods are always best. You're going to have more antioxidants, more nutrient-rich vitamins in those and minerals in those foods rather than buying something that's frozen. So try to stick to all fresh foods if you can.
Okay. What do you think about like having a multivitamin every day? You know, that's always a debate for people is do I start my day with a multivitamin? Does it make a real difference?
Absolutely. And there are two sides to that coin. It will make a difference if you have a high potency multivitamin. And also if your digestive tract is nice and clean, because if you're not absorbing what you're putting in, then you're not going to feel the remnants of it. So we want to make sure that that digestive system's nice and clean. And I prefer my clients to take a liquid multivitamin. So the absorption level is higher than it would be if you have to digest it. And there are a lot of people out there who don't like swallowing horse pills anyway.
So, that's true.
So a lot of people are like, oh, yes, give me the liquid stuff all day long. Yeah. And no, it's not nasty. It's not terrible. It just tastes like really, really potent fruit juice.
Okay. I could deal with that. So, Amy, where can you find some of these products? Like you said, maybe the liquid multivitamin or maybe some of the supplements that we need.
So we can be found online, www.fitbodyvibe.com. That's our web address. And we're also on Instagram and Facebook under Fit Body Vibe. So we hope to see you guys online and want to connect with you all.
Amy Linus, always a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much for your help this morning, and we'll talk again next week.
Thank you, Melissa. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, you too.
It's time to get out and explore. Melissa in the Morning brings you science you may not know on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600.
Well, if you walked into my house right now, you would definitely know what apple crisp, pumpkin spice, you would know what those things smell like because I got Yankee candles all over the place for fall. Oh, let me tell you. But this scent, I can't tell you I know anything about this. What does space smell like? For that, I'm going to David Mestre. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Melissa.
Why did you pick this? I think this is a hilarious topic. I'm good, thank you.
Oh, it's so cool. It's so cool. it just kind of tells you that you don't know what you don't know when you start exploring space. Yeah. And so the big thing, though, is that, you know, you really can't smell space. I mean, it's kind of like a bait and switch here. But what it is that, you know, space is a vacuum. And you really can't, like, you know, stick your nose out of a spaceship to actually smell space. But you can't even
take it out of your suit or anything. That's what I was thinking.
No,
I'm like, it's the smell of your suit.
Yes. And so what happens is that your suit actually gets infused with these aromatic hydrocarbons that are actually out there in space. And so what happens is that astronauts, when they say they smell space, what they're really smelling is their suit. after being in space. And so, you know, they come out from spacewalk, or even the astronauts that were on the moon, they come back and they take off their suit, and they actually were with their suit when they were doffing it, is what they call it. And they had these smells that the suit kind of got stuck to, you know. So
yeah.
And so what they found was, it was really kind of interesting. You know, the astronauts, they had to like come up with words to describe this smell, because it's really kind of unique. And so, you know, some of the astronauts would say things like, it smelled like burnt steak, you know, like a fried steak.
Hmm.
And another astronaut would say that it smelled like gunpowder, a seared steak, raspberries, and even rum. So there's like all of these different like kind of burnt, smoky kind of smells.
Yeah, and I feel like unless you want your house to smell like a barbecue, maybe the raspberries and rum wouldn't be so bad for a Yankee Candle, but I don't know if I want a steak candle. I don't know.
I think that would be a little bit much. But you know, but NASA wants to train these astronauts so that they're not surprised when they're actually, you know, in space. And so they do all sorts of different kinds of training. But it turned out that, you know, NASA engineers decided, hey, listen, you know, we probably need to prepare them for every eventuality. So maybe we need to prepare them for the smell of space.
Okay.
And so what they did, this is really cool, what they did was that they actually hired a fragrance maker. His name was Steve Pierce, and he owns a company called Omega Ingredients. And they gave him a job. They said, listen, we want you to make the smell of space.
I love these assignments. Can I just say, David, whenever you bring up whoever gets these assignments, like one of the weeks we did the pen, and I just think like, what? I just wish I could be a fly on the wall when it's like, hey, this is what I need for you. All right. This is your mission.
NASA is calling you.
Right?
And we need you to make the
smell
of space.
Can you imagine, first of all, getting the call from NASA, but then you find out, listen, this is what I need from you. Okay. We need this. And it's like, what? Like that. But that's the pinnacle of this guy's existence. Like, this is probably what made him famous.
Like, this is, must have been. He's like, oh my gosh, I am so on this.
Hilarious.
I love it.
So Steve's got to make space. Got it. He's got to make the smell.
He's got to make space happen. He has to make space happen. This has to happen. And
wow.
So Steve is working on this. And it takes him a couple weeks. You know, he's interviewing astronauts, and he's got to go through his whole, you know, library of scents to just try and figure this out and try to put it together. So he did it. So he actually came up with this fragrance for space. And so astronauts actually use this to kind of get a whiff of what they might experience after a spacewalk. And he even actually got so good at this that he even was talking to some of the Apollo astronauts, and he even got one for the scent of the moon. That's right.
Ooh.
He's got the scent of the moon. And so what happened is that, you know, fast forward like almost a decade, and there was a small company that, like, they heard about this. They said, oh my God, somebody made the smell of space.
That's so cool.
And so what they decided, they wanted this recipe because they wanted to bottle it.
Sure, of course.
Yeah, they want it. So they formed a company, and they actually were able, through Freedom of Information Acts, to be able to get this information, because they needed this recipe from NASA, and it's a federal agency, and so this should be readily available to any in the public to be able to do this. And so they actually were able to get it on Kickstarter, and it went bananas. And you can actually right now, you can buy the smell of space, and they call it, get ready, it's called Eau de Space.
I don't know why that's so funny to me. That sounds so fancy.
Yes.
And it's like you're smelling space.
Yes, it's a bottle. It's a beautiful bottle. It's actually bottled very nicely.
Ooh.
It's on a website. You can go Eau de Space.
I'm looking for it right now as you talk.
One of the happy customers actually gave it such a glowing review. I mean,
Only one, though?
No, there are a couple, but this is one of my favorites.
Okay.
So this customer said that upon smelling Eau de Space, it had the sweet smelling welding fumes. It smelled like burning metal, a distinct odor of ozone, an acrid smell.
What is that
smell? Walnuts and brake pads, gunpowder, fruit rum, and even burnt almond cookie. I mean, you just have to buy this stuff. I mean, it's just so...
I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, though, David, because I looked it up, and they've even got Eau de Luna, which is the moon smell you're talking about.
Eau de Luna.
But,
yes,
okay,
they have
do you
Eau de
know
Luna.
What this goes for? Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, that's not bad at all. Oh, this isn't bad at all. Okay, yeah, so they're like $49. I mean, it's
yeah, for $49,
you can smell like the moon.
You can smell like the
moon.
And, you know, on your date, you can tell. You know, if you're like, you know, one of those. Yes, if you're one of those guys that just, you know, you just want to be able to attract.
Want to be out of this world.
You want to be out of this world. Out of this world.
And
it's so cool.
I was seeing here actually in your notes, because I know we're running out of time, that if you're a science teacher, you can actually apply to get a free sample sent to your classroom. That's so cool.
That's correct. You can. The space, actually, if you go on their website, you can actually apply to actually get this fragrance for free.
Wow.
And so, yes, you too can spritz your classroom and make it smell like space. Your principal will love you
for bringing that
immersive experience.
Oh my gosh, this is truly
a
galactic adventure right here.
And
just so everyone knows, Eau de Space, only because I don't sound good saying it. You sound a lot better. It's spelled EAUDE space spelled out .com. So
that's
go
cool.
Check that out online.
Check it out.
I might have to buy this.
You might have to do it. This is probably the closest that you'll ever get to that space experience. And and then just let us know. Yeah, just give us smell test, you know.
Oh,
bring it over
gosh.
To the other radio stations, you know. Maybe spritz the other radio stations too. You know,
I feel like I don't know if they're all gonna like me anymore. But if it's as good as these reviews say, then hey,
well,
you know.
Tell them it's a science experiment. It's a science experiment. It's for science.
I love it. David Mestre, always so much fun with you. Thank you so much. And I'll let you know when I get some of this. We'll share it. That sounds great.
Please, absolutely.
Oh my gosh, Eau de Space. Can't wait to buy it. Thank you so much, David. Appreciate it.